Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat scornful. But his delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the springs of water that bringeth forth its fruit in a season, and its leaf also does not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But what's the key there? He meditates upon the word of God. He waits upon God. The idea of the word meditate is to chew. It's almost like the picture of a cow chewing its cud. I need to get that word in me, and I need to process it and chew on it and think on it and pray on it and chew on it some more. There's a lot of stuff in this scripture I call bump verses. How many like speed bumps? You're cruising along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden the whole car is shaking. You know, I have bump verses in the scripture that just rattle my cage. And I'm not sure how to apply them. I'm not sure how it's supposed to work out in my life, but I keep chewing at it because God wants them to become a living reality in my being. You know? Like, what this is a terrible confession of me. I find forgiving people that have hurt me not too hard to do now. It's taken me 30-plus years to get to that place. But the one thing I really haven't learned to do very well, Jordy, and I'm not mentioning his name because he's, I'm just looking at him. He's taking it all in, you know. He's like a sponge. He's soaking everything in there, I have trouble blessing those that hurt me. Hello? God, let your favor fall upon them. You know, for a long time I used the verse, oh God, heap burning coals of fire upon their head. Get them. And then I started looking at that verse some more, and I discovered, back in those days, Jill, they didn't have gas stoves or electric stoves, and the mother, she didn't get up in the middle of the night and stoke the fire. There weren't hot coals to make breakfast in the morning. So John, there was a guy who ran around and he made a living selling hot coals to women who forgot to get up in the middle of the night and stoke the fire. And she'd have hot coals to take home and prepare the meal. So putting hot coals of fire upon a person's head, they'd come up with a basket lined with leaves and he put the coals in there. It was blessing them. It was aiding them in their deficiency. I thought, God, that's not fair. I've just lost a good verse. and trying to figure out how to bless those that have hurt you. Hello? Am I alone in that? And then there's God come as man upon the cross. He looks at him and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Yeah. Took a long time for that to get twisted in my soul. Am I really active and successful in that? Not really. Come on, hello? Aren't there some people in your life you just like to dislike? Thank you. I got one or two honest people here. There's that binding together. But blessed is the man. God wants to bless us, but how does that happen? It's not a passive thing. I need to learn to meditate upon the Word of God. That habit needs to be developed in my life, not on a casual thing. 2 Timothy 2:15. I memorized that in the Old King James Version. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who needs not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, which implies you can wrongly divide it. The ESV translates, and most new translations do it this way, to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does that sound like a passive activity? That requires diligence. It requires effort. It requires... I can't remember. I lost Sam. I can't remember if Sam was there. I remember sharing it with Josh. I started doing a more detailed study early in the new year out of Genesis. Remember when they built the ark? Noah built the ark. And they sealed it with pitch. This isn't in your notes. I found this fascinating. And I looked up pitch in the Blue Letter Bible. And you know what it means? Ransom. You're brought into the ark of Christ. And you're sealed in. It went above the waters of judgment. It wasn't a submarine going through it. It went above it. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. You're ransomed by the Son of God. And so I'm looking at it going, oh God, this is wild. Like the ark is a picture of something. You know, I didn't get it. Yeah. There's something about studying that you discover things that you didn't know were there. And you go, wow, back in Genesis, there's a provision there. You know. And not everybody was saved. Only eight. Hello? You know? Narrow is the road and narrow is the gate that leads to life. And wide is the road and wide's the gate that leads to destruction. And all that tells you is the anticipated amount of traffic. Yeah. John, you need to be active in the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Again, I memorized this in the old King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, proving what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word, be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. This is one of the early discoveries I made in my Christian walk. I can't remember how I discovered it. It might have been through a book I was reading. But the word transformed is the word metamorphosis. What a caterpillar spins a cocoon around himself and comes out a butterfly. That's a distinctly different looking creature. And somehow I don't think that process has got to be very comfortable. And if you and your Christian walk are having some discomfort as you're allowing God, as you wait upon him to twist you and form you and unite you with his will and his purposes, there's going to be some discomfort because we're so far from what God is like that there's a major transformation that needs to take place. Amen? That's what waiting upon God is about. And it is actively abiding in the Word. Then there's the habit of prayer. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me. That's a prayer. You know? Then there's that very short verse. This is the entire verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. That's the whole verse. Pray without ceasing. And it doesn't mean you spend the whole day on your knees at the couch praying. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of prayer. I was partway through the outline yesterday, and I felt the need to call Kim and talk to her and see how she was doing. Because she tends to carry a lot of stuff as a pastor's wife. She carries a lot of things, and some of the things happening in congregational life require a lot of prayer. And it's just an attitude that we're open to impression of the Lord. And we allow it to interrupt us. James 4, 2 and 3. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Boy, I mean, tell you, some of the horrible things that have happened during this Christmas season. You know? I don't know if you've been following the news at all. But the guy that set the woman on fire in the New York subway and watched her burn. Then I saw one of the videos from the closed circuit TV system A police officer walked by and saw it and just kept walking. Horrible things. You know? The world's an unhappy place because they don't have and they want and they're willing to kill to get it. And in my own life, in my own spirit, John, have you had attitudes and times in your life where you were slaying things to get what you wanted? You know? That, by the way, that's why gossip is in the same list as with murder. Because when we gossip and backbite and slander, we're doing character assassination. And he says, you covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you don't ask. Okay, that's the first problem. John, are you asking? In your waiting, John, are you in prayer? And then you discover you ask and you don't receive. Oh, that's me, oh God, you know. Why? He says, because you ask wrongly. To what? To spend it on your pleasures. And again, don't separate that from the 27th Psalm that we looked at last week. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after. God, I'd like a new vehicle. It's not on the list. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. As I get into the Word and allow His Spirit to begin to, you know, and here's the good news. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. If I get my priority right, and I wait upon God with a right heart and right attitude, allowing His Word and His Spirit to twist into my soul, and be united with Him, one in purpose, one in objective, one in goal, one in passion, then I begin to see things happen. Because when it's for me, it's for me. But when it's for God, many more begin to be blessed. Amen? No? I think one of the bravest things a parent can do is what the Erickson's are doing, releasing their daughter to go to a mission field. It's not comfortable, is it? They're away from home.
What? I'm gonna have to pray on
that. So he's like the father bird who boots the other bird out of the nest. That way it learns to fly. See, but a wise parent knows when to do it. You know, so, Riley, you should be safe for a year or two. First John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him. That if we ask anything according to, that should be His will, not His will. I even proofed this, and I didn't do very well. If to do His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. That's the confidence I'm to have. That if we ask anything according to His will, that takes me in my thinking all the way back to Romans 12 again. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, proving what is the good and accepted and perfect will of God. As I get into the Word of God and allow it to fuse into my being and my soul, I find my prayer life begins to change quite a bit. And that's biblical waiting upon the Lord, calling upon His name. Not that my desires and my passions would be fulfilled, but that His purposes. Bob, that takes us all the way back to Matthew 6. Teach us to pray, Lord. pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. That begins to change my prayer request quite a bit. Doesn't change too much my intercessory prayer when I pray for you, but it sure changes how I pray for myself, because when I pray for you, I usually don't pray in a covetous, greedy, self-fulfilling way, because I'm praying for you. But I'm praying for me. That's a whole different story. It really begins to alter that. The third, the habit of praise. Psalm 25, verses 8 to 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way. Richard will verify this. The Psalms were the hymn book for the Old Testament. These aren't just portions of Scripture. These are songs that they sang. And they were singing, good and upright is the Lord. That was very similar to one of the songs you led us in this morning. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads us. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. That was what they sang. Praise opens the door for us of understanding. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. When I'm waiting upon God, am I cultivating in my soul the word of God? Am I letting God alter my prayers? And as I allow that to happen, I discover a song begins to well up within me. There's times I have felt myself, when I'm alone, I'd be too embarrassed to sing publicly, but there are times that I feel God's giving me a new song. There's times I don't know how to put words to it, so I just let the Holy Spirit come in with words that he understands that I don't necessarily understand. There's something about praise that begins to open up a pathway of understanding. David had some major failures in his life, and when he failed, he openly repented. And he usually, like Psalm 51, he would write a song revealing his sin and have it sung throughout Israel. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. God wants to give us new songs. I thank God for members of the body of Christ who have the gift of music and write new songs. So often I find some of the new songs that come out are really put an exclamation mark to some of the feelings I've been having. Somebody else was able to put it to words and to music. Praise is to be a continual habit in our life. Ephesians 5. I'm going to ask you to turn there, 18 to 21. I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to back up to verse 11 and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's not to shame. The purpose is to cleanse, to heal. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, light isn't there to shock and embarrass. It's there to restore. for it's a shame even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible in the light, therefore say, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Well, that's what I want. But sometimes I'm not prepared to pay the cost. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay. We're going back now to the earlier habits. Am I letting the word alter me? Am I allowing it to transform me to prove what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God? Or am I hanging on to old things in my soul? I want to understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Regardless of what your personal theology is, whether you think you get the fullness of the Spirit when you accept Christ, or whether you believe in a second work, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's get one thing straight. It's not a one-time event. There's an initial event. But he says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's an ongoing thing in our lives. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. The idea there is continually being filled. I don't know how many people, I have this, my wife got me, I can't remember if this was Christmas last year or my birthday, I don't recall. My son got it working for me when we were there in November, this watch. But when I went to bed last night, it was flashing at me. Battery is low. So the first thing I had to do this morning was find the charger and charge it. Remember the old watches? You used to have to wind them? We're like that. You get filled, but it's not a one-time event. There's a draining out. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. And we're supposed to be crackpots. It's supposed to be coming out. You know, out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Well, rivers aren't for me. Rivers flow out to others. But what happens when the reservoir runs dry? There's no flow. Part of the idea of waiting upon the Lord, being involved in His Word, being in prayer, is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us up again. And one of the key ways of that happening, I've discovered in my life, whether you're singing on key or off key, whether you got the melody right or whatever, one of the things that is of greatest help is the sacrifice of praise. You know? You and I were talking not long ago about years ago. one of the common things, so many of the verses of Scripture that I know, I learned because of a program that was at that time called Scripture in Song. I remember one thing have I desired of the Lord. That was a song taken right out of the book of Psalms. Big John Hall singing Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's something about singing the word of God. You know, I don't, there's something mysterious marvelous and holy about music. And it helps to bind those things in our soul. And the number of times in the Psalms he says, I will give you a new song, even praises unto our Lord. You know? Find gospel music that really gets your attention and allow it to flow through you. I like a lot of the old stuff. I thought Don Moen had great music. Dallas Holmes, I like his stuff. You know, but my new favorite group is City of Light out of Australia. Find what releases your soul. Stuff that makes your soul begin to sing and soar with wings like eagles. It's interesting to me. This isn't in your notes. I hope this isn't confusing to you. In Acts 15, it talks about he will restore the tabernacle of, not Moses, David. The tabernacle of Moses, only the Levites could go into it. And only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. But the tabernacle of David, he had singers and musicians, and you didn't have to be of a particular tribe. And they would minister to the Lord 24/7. And it's interesting to me, in the book of Acts, he's restoring to us the tabernacle of David, that a song of praise unto God would be released. That's part of waiting upon God. And as we close this morning, maybe by 30 seconds it's still morning. The last is the habit of obedience. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and we will love him, and we will manifest ourselves unto him. That's the old King James Version. The word manifest means to make known to your senses. Oswald Chamberlain, in one of his devotions, says it is not study that begins to open your understanding. He says understanding is opened through obedience. When I hear a portion of Scripture and I obey it, then God adds the next thing and the next thing. And his order for you will not be the same order as for me, because it's a personal unfolding and revelation in our own soul of who God is. Obedience is a key. Think about it. God came to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son. Just want to remind you, that wasn't true. He had another son, Ishmael. I like that because God doesn't keep track of my mistakes. He says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and present him to me. It says, and immediately, he obeyed God and he did it. So they leave the servants and they tie the animals to the tree and they walk up the mount. And I don't know who had the fire, but I think you had the wood. And Isaac looks at his dad and he says, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the offering? You know, it's not until you get into the book of Hebrews that you discover that Abraham was obedient, believing that if he offered up his son, God would raise him from the dead. It's a picture of God the Father sending Jesus Christ and raising him from the dead. And he looks at his son Isaac and he says, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. And he lays his son on the stone altar and raises the knife to slay him. And would you let your dad do that to you? No. Take a hike, Dad. I mean, this kid had a lot of trust in his dad. Yeah. And then God says, don't do it. Then he heard the bleating of the ram in the thicket. See, God knew what Abraham would do. God knows what you will do. But John, you don't know what you will do. You know? Oftentimes they say, oh, I'd never do that. Kind of like Peter. Oh, I'd never forsake you. Who are you kidding? You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. You know? I think it was Oswald Chambers who said, faith by its very nature has to be tested. It's not God trying to figure out what's going on. I need to figure out what's going on. Hello? If your faith is being tested right now, it's because God believes in your ability to wait upon him and walk with him. Hang to the word. Be steadfast in prayer. Offer the sacrifice of praise. And whatever he says to you, do it. It's kind of like Mary's word to the servants at the wedding. You know, Jesus, they're out of wine. What's that to me? Does she listen to her son like every good mother? Nope. Turns and looks at the servant. Whatever he says to you, do it. As you wait upon God, you will hear his voice in your soul. Whatever he says to you, do it. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. Amen? Well, that takes us to communion. This coming year, God is going to teach us to wait more and more upon him.